Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark S. Lee.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. I hope you're going to sit back and relax in this beautiful Sunday morning, weekend morning in Detroit. It's going to be a nice one in the mid-80s today. We've been had a fairly good stretch of weather, although we've had some rain and those power outages continue periodically. But I also want to say good morning to my sidekick over there, Mr. Doak. How you doing?
I got to get my mic on. This will work a lot better when I turn the mic on. I'm doing great. And the weather's great.
You didn't lose your power with that mic this week.
No.
Yeah, this weather's incredible.
Yeah, man. I love it. This is perfect.
Can you believe it's the first week in August?
No, don't remind me. It's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
But you know what? Like I say this each and every single week. I'm telling you, enjoy
exactly
each day, these long days and the warm days and days that's slowly getting shorter. We don't want to say that out loud. But just sit back and enjoy the weather. And that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. And as you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because the show does air and is streamed nationally via radio.com. All right, with all that said and done, I'd like to welcome our very first guest. And, you know, really, she's been on Small Talk before. And, Doak, I got to ask you a very quick question. Where did I go to school?
Eastern Michigan.
Where do I currently teach at?
Eastern Michigan.
Okay. You just did a nice introduction for our very first guest, Ms. Lolita Cummings Carson. And she's a 25-year professor at Eastern Michigan University. And she also recently founded ProtoProf, a company that offers dynamic two-day workshops that help experts in all fields transitioning from professionalism, from being a professional to becoming a professor. Lolita, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. It's always nice to be here.
Always good to have you. And we were just talking before the show. Are you teaching this summer?
I taught one class this summer, and it was really cool. And I think you did something with the same students, but it was all student-athletes. And I think I saw something online where you had met with them as well. And it was 32. I never teach 32 students. I always have far fewer than that. But they were phenomenal. I love their energy. And, you know, they're student-athletes, so you know they're already hardworking, they're dedicated, they're committed. And we had a good time. It was just 5 weeks, but we had a great time.
And the reason I ask you, here we are in early August, you know. Yeah. It's not too far away, is it?
Yeah, okay. I'm still in August mode, right?
I'm in summer mode. All right, enough of that. I have to say, I did have a blast. That's the second time this summer day that the university invited me to come in and talk to the first time some future recruits. Actually, being recruited to universities, the football players, and I had a blast talking to them. And what you just saw most recently, I talked to the incoming freshmen, student athletes, and had a blast with them as well.
Yeah, they were great.
All right, well, you're here as not really as a professor from Eastern Michigan University. You are. But you just, you're launching a new concept, which I think is a rather fascinating concept. So before we get started on down that path, talk to us briefly about Lolita. Who is she? What do you do at Eastern Michigan?
You know, I am, like you said, I'm a 25-year professor. I couldn't believe it this past spring when they asked me to come in and get my service watch is what I selected for 25 years. Can't believe I've been there. But I'm a public relations professor there in the English department. Love every second of it. But before I came to Eastern, I actually practiced public relations for about 10 years before I came in. Mm-hmm. I still consult here and there, but I'm going to try and help folks do what I did.
Doak, she's being humble.
Okay.
This lady is beloved at Eastern Michigan. And
thank
she
you.
Does campus kindness. I have never seen students respond to a professor the way I've seen students respond to Lolita. She's being very humble on social media. And you walk on that campus and people know who she is. I had the opportunity of hosting her on my TV show, our TV show called EMU Today. She's absolutely a beloved figure up there.
That's
she's
great.
So humble.
That's great.
I'm blushing. I'm about as red as this room right now. So thank you.
Right.
Thank you so much.
I only give the kudos where they are deserved and truly deserved.
I appreciate
but you're also, you have have a new business, a new business idea, which I think is a rather fascinating concept. When I walk around and people see that, they hear that I'm teaching at Eastern Michigan as well, they're like, how can I do that?
Yes.
How can I do that?
That's it. That's exactly it. And I've had the same reaction from so many professionals over the years. And, you know, they find out you're a professor. They know you were a professional. It's like, well, how did you happen to do that? How did you make that transition? And so what I've done and what we've done is we've set up a series of two-day workshops. The first one's going to be in Novi, September 20th and 21st. And it's going to walk professionals who have just thought about teaching through that process to get them to be instructors, professionals, whatever level they want to be, whether it's full-time, part-time, online or on campus, maybe even one day a week, because that's how I started. Mm-hmm. I was working full-time in public relations, thought maybe I would want to teach. And I thought that because, I don't know if you know this or not, but education is kind of like our family business. My mother retired as a teacher. My sister retired as a teacher. My other sister's a school psychologist. My aunts and uncles were teachers. So after a while of working in PR, I decided I wanted to be a professor, but I didn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
I really did not. And so I went back to school and started teaching one night a week while I was still, because I couldn't quit my day job,
right?
Still working full-time in public relations. And within 2 years, which is pretty phenomenal, I think, had secured a full-time tenure-track position at Eastern. But I don't want other people to stumble through it the way that I did. I want to give them the information and knowledge, the skills, so that they can hit the ground running and be the very best instructor that they can be.
So you are a tenure professor.
I am, yeah.
Okay, so and let me clarify what we're talking about here. So a lot of times, I'm not tenured. I'm an adjunct. I'm a guest lecturer there, mm-hmm. and I enjoy it. This will be my seventh academic year in the fall. Before that, I taught 6 or 7 years at another institution. But what we're suggesting here, a lot of professionals are working in the professional environment, the corporate environment.
Yeah.
And what Lolita is saying, what I'm saying is we both have worked full time. And in my case, I was fortunate enough where I got an opportunity to teach at a local institution.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question I always get is, Mark, I work full time for that individual, but I have the interest in teaching and getting my foot in academia. How do I do that? So the concept that you've launched, what's the name of the business?
ProtoProf.
ProtoProf. And what we're saying is she's giving you advice and counsel on how to take that leap with that connection from being in a professional environment to getting into the academic world. So one of the things that people always ask, but I'm going to defer to you, is, well, don't you have to have previous academic experience?
And that's, you know, you absolutely do not. You know, if you're going to work in the K-12 system, you have to have a teaching certificate, right? No such thing exists for higher education. You don't have to have that certificate. Most times they're going to want you to have a master's degree with professional experience. Sometimes, you know, if it's a community college, you may not even need that, a bachelor's degree with some real solid experience, because that is what you're going to bring into the classroom to help the students, is that what you've learned out there in the professional world, bring it to those students, because our fields are changing so quickly. Mm-hmm. You can't get it all from a textbook. You have to have someone very often who's actually been in the trenches. And so that's why I certainly encourage, you know, I often have guest speakers in my classrooms and they say the same thing. How did you get to be a professor. And, you know, that's what we all want. We want those people in there. And I'll tell you, you know, you asked me if I have tenure. I've had tenure for the past, I think it took me like 6 years to get it, 19 years. But when I started at the university, you know what? I had no idea what tenure was.
Mm.
I knew it was a great thing, mm-hmm. and I was embarrassed to ask someone, what is it? And after a while, I did, and I realized it was great. But those are things that I didn't know. But those are things that folks are going to learn in these workshops. So like I said, they won't have to stumble through it because they've got all this amazing experience. You know, they want to give back to the students. They want to share what they've learned, and we're going to try and help them to do that.
But yet, the most of the people that come to me, Lolita, are people who might be a little bit more mature.
Mm-hmm.
They have been in a work environment. It's almost like they're looking for that retirement gig, right? So yes, they're working full time, but they might be a baby boomer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just clarify what a baby boomer is. You know, I teach it all the time. Those are individuals born between 1948 and 1964.
Yeah.
1948 and 1964. So some of those individuals are beginning to approach retirement.
Yes.
And they want to maybe have a part time something as they're retiring.
Yes.
Right, from the professional environment. So my question is, are most of the people who are coming to you in the baby boomer era, Or are you finding more younger people wanting to do this as well?
You know, I really do have both. I have a lot of them who are younger who have maybe 10 years experience. But then I have others who have been out there for some years. And, you know, this is actually perfect for them because, you know, they're retiring, they're slowing down their careers, but still they've got all this valuable knowledge that they can share and give back. And they're in their career where they really want to give back. But, you know, they're not settling themselves down with, you know, a 40-hour week job, a set schedule. You know, you can teach one night a week, so you can still have that flexibility. You can feel like you're retired and mostly be. You can teach online. And, you know, I've been, you know, in other countries teaching online with my computer right there, and it's phenomenal. Still giving the students the same amount. So it's wonderful for those baby boomers who, you know, wealth of experience and knowledge.
But you know what also notice is also a lot of self-development. And what I mean by that is, based on my experience, and, you know, this show is focused on entrepreneurship, and I want you entrepreneurs out there and small business owners to listen as well. You can also, anybody can benefit from teaching.
Oh, absolutely.
And what I mean by that, I go into the classroom, and as everybody knows, I teach at the College of Business. I teach primarily marketing and international business classes. Mm-hmm. I take some of the concepts that I actually teach and that I deliver, I apply those exact same concepts to my business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because as educators, we have to stay on top of trends, right? And so those things that we teach, we also use. And those things that we use, we also teach. So it goes both ways. So we have to stay on the cutting edge and continue to implement those things that we are teaching and, you know, and then bring them back to the students. I absolutely love it. I think I work in the most rich environment imaginable, you know, because you're surrounded by the best and brightest minds, the best research, the best information, and you can just immerse yourself in that and be so much successful as a result of it.
Well, I know we're coming on a couple of minutes remaining, but let's kind of unpack that 2-day session.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen over that 2-day period?
So we're trying to make it convenient for professionals. So it's going to be Friday, September 20th from 5 until 8. We'll feed you, you know, a little bit of snacks if you're coming from work. Saturdays from 9 to 4, we'll feed you breakfast. We'll feed you lunch. And we're going to bring in some guest speakers, some other amazing instructors at Eastern that I'm so excited for everyone to hear about. It can't just be, you know, what I'm doing. I want them to hear what other folks are doing. We'll teach you from beginning to end, you know, how do you create a syllabus? How do you get a CV, create a CV instead of a resume?
A resume, right?
Because that's what's more common in academia. How do you go about reaching out to folks? How do you let them know you're available? I'll give them some resources on colleges and universities locally. How do you get into online teaching? How do you set up your syllabus? Classroom instruction, assignments, because some of that stuff can sometimes be intimidating. So we're really excited about it. There's if you register before August 15th, there's an early bird discount that'll save you a little about $100. So we're encouraging folks to do that. And we're going to keep it small, no more than 15 people.
What is the website?
Pro2prof.com. So
let me tell you why, and we have less than a minute remaining, but let me tell you why this is important. When I first started, I didn't have a resource like that. Yeah. I didn't even know what Avita was.
Yeah, neither did I.
I had to everything. I remember the university saying very quickly, Mark, we need your Avita. And I had to research and develop and learn all this myself.
So did I.
And here's a resource right there to help you.
Absolutely.
I wish I had that resource when I started as well.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I'm so happy to. I just think it's a great idea. Melita Cummings Carson, we want to thank you very much for coming in. And what's the website one more time?
PRO2PROF.
And the dates one more time are?
September 20th and 21st.
Well, we wish you a lot of success with your very first event.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I love being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Again, that's Lolita Cummings Carson. And there will be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. Yes, we are rolling through summer. So I wish it could slow down. But, you know, again, as I mentioned, the opening segment, continue to enjoy the spectacular weather. We know we've had a lot of up and downs with the rains and the storms. But you know what? As long as it's summer, I'm a happy camper. And as always, we want you to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee with our very special next guest, Mr. Andy Shepherd. Here's the CEO and owner of the Tennis and Golf Company out of Royal Oak, Michigan. It was established in 1977 to better suit the needs of tennis players in the metro Detroit area. And Andy is a lifelong entrepreneur that loves building businesses. He's been instrumental in building a multi-million dollar online retail enterprise at Summit Sports. Andy, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So let's just kind of start with basics. Tell me about you. Who are you?
I'd say a serial entrepreneur. I do love building businesses and coming up with new ideas and taking them to the next level. At Summit Sports, we took a specialty sporting goods store retail and presented that online in the same way that we would in our specialty categories. Mm-hmm. So for instance, we operated a local chain of action sports stores that focused on ski, snowboard, inline skates. We took that concept and developed category-specific websites, skis.com, snowboards.com, inlineskates.com, with that same specialty store shopping experience that you might get locally. Mm-hmm. And obviously shopping online, there's not a salesperson to talk to, and things like ski boots and inline skates require a lot of fit expertise and knowledge about the product itself.
So how did you get started, though, specifically in sports retail? What was it about that particular industry that attracted you?
It's selling fun.
Yeah?
It really is. You know, I was managing a video store previously. I was a big movie guy. And when I saw this opportunity in sporting goods, I said, you know what, that sounds like a lot more fun. People buy the equipment that we sell to go out and enjoy and have fun. It's not things that they specifically need, but it's their recreation, pastime, and pleasure for families, individuals.
And you're headquartered in Royal Oak.
We are.
And so the name is the Tennis and Golf Company. Are those the primary products and services that you sell specifically focused on tennis and golf players?
Yes. We do have some secondary categories, running, fitness, things like that. But the primary focus of the store is tennis and golf.
And you've been instrumental in building both online and brick and mortar sports-related businesses. Share those experiences with us.
That's really the fun of it. I'm really passionate about retail, but I really love e-commerce. And one of the things I explain to people is the difference is that when we want to change something in our store or develop a new category or even re-merchandise a store, it takes a lot of people and a lot of time to even do a seasonal conversion from summer to winter. But when you're on the internet, we could create a sale, develop a new category on the website, or launch a new promotion literally within hours. So whereas a retail store is more like steering a barge, the website and the marketing you can do online these days is more like a jet ski.
Yeah. But yet you have to find a balance between the two.
Correct.
Those two lines of business, if you will, they have to be able to leverage each other's capabilities.
Correct. And that's where we've been able to take the expertise that we have in the store and present that same type of information online and make it an equal shopping experience, whether you have time to get into our stores or, depending on your schedule and craziness in life, also shop online and have the same quality shopping experience.
And what yet we find, Andy, some people are still grappling with, you know, how to increase their sales within a retail, the old traditional outlet, if you will. Some people have a challenge of increasing their online sales, but you've been able to establish growth in both entities. What advice or counsel will you give to someone listening today, and they're like trying to figure out that balance between, they do have a retail outlet, and they're trying to expand it to e-commerce. Give them some tips on how to grow successfully in the sales space.
I think one of the main keys is being great at what you do and focusing on what you're great at and putting that energy and making your presence online just as great as your presence offline. Some of your ancillary categories that maybe you're just good at, mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot more tough time competing online than the ones you're already great at.
We are talking to Andy Shepherd this morning. He's with the Tennis and Golf Company. He's the owner, president, and CEO out of Royal Oak, Michigan. We're in Royal Oak, by the way. Where are you?
It's 12 and a half in Woodward.
Okay. And famed avenue, Woodward Avenue and 12 and a half mile road in Royal Oak. You mentioned you were a serial entrepreneur. I'm just curious, what other businesses have you been involved in?
It probably started when I was about 6 or 7 and, felt like I needed things. My parents said, well, you better find a way to earn some money to make that. So whether it was recycling newspaper, you know, cutting grass, things like that. Had a lawn company while I was in high school, went to college, opened a sporting goods store when I got out of college. Summit Sports was acquired a few years ago, and after I left that, I started a wallet company.
Mm-hmm. And so you never worked in the corporate space?
I have not.
Really?
Not a single
day. That's interesting. So someone is listening and saying, well, wait a minute, how have you been able to navigate those ups and downs and the challenges and the obstacles of being a serial entrepreneur?
I think with just motivation and drive. I'm always looking for something new and, you know, something different to do, and just put a lot of effort into always thinking out of the box and looking for new opportunities.
But yeah, you've had independence most of your career.
I have. And that's the other thing that's great about being an entrepreneur. Like, it gives you the ability to focus on what you love to do and not necessarily, you know, what you have to do.
Well, let's talk about your next journey as part of your becoming or being a serial entrepreneur. And that's your latest acquisition, the Tennis and Golf Company. Tell us about the company one more time. I know we highlighted it earlier, just kind of reestablish what it is. And then what makes this store different from other stores in that same space?
Sure. So this store was founded in 1977. In Southfield, and as the Tennis Company. Later moved over to Woodward about 22 years ago and became the Tennis and Golf Company. And it is the largest specialty tennis store in the Midwest. And the founder had created it basically out of a lack of, he felt, appropriate service for the tennis community. Some of the things they focus on are same-day stringing of rackets. We have at any given time four or five racket stringers working in the store. It's by far the largest. It's about a 15,000 square foot retail footprint. Your typical tennis store might be 1,000 to 2,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that success they've built over the last 42 years, they've not had a single online transaction, which I know is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing these days. And they built an amazing company with a wealth of knowledge. My partner in the company, Steve Kopitz, was my partner at Summit Sports too. And we had acquired some additional domain names. So we actually own the domain names tennisrackets.com, spelled both CK and CQ.
Mm-hmm.
So when this opportunity came up to acquire this historic business, it just seemed like an amazing fit.
And you just have one store, you're local. So any plans to expand across Metro Detroit or into other states?
First, we're going to go online and then consider some other possibilities for retail location.
And that's always the part of the challenge, Andy, is as people, I think they grapple with, I have this retail presence. And then the question becomes, well, do I expand geographically through the retail presence, or do I simply use maybe a lower cost barrier, you know, cost barrier to entry, if you want. Entry, I guess the entry, right? That's what I'm trying to say, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the cost to enter business, the mark of one. And they're trying to find that balance. In other words, do I expand geographically through retail expansion, or do I expand, you know, through the e-commerce channel, which has a lower cost of entry, is what I'm trying to say earlier. And so any thoughts on that?
Sure. I would suggest going from one retail to e-commerce and then possibly growing retail. One of the things that you find is somewhere in the 2 to 3 store retail chains, it becomes very difficult to manage, and often there's not enough profit to hire a general manager or a district manager. So an owner may end up finding himself spread very thin over a few stores, maybe up until you reach 5 or 6 stores.
When did you purchase?
We just closed on April 29th.
So very recently.
Yeah, just about 90 days.
So 90 days in your fourth month.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned in that short period of owning this particular store, this particular outlet? In other words, has it been an enlightening experience? Is it what you expected, or something just been like, wow, I think I need to go back and do something completely different?
No, it's actually been even more than I could have expected. I knew they had a very dedicated customer base, but the longevity of their customers is amazing. One of your guests that'll be on later pulled me aside and said, I'm a big tennis player, love that store. And that's what I hear all the time when people find out that I'm one of the new owners of the store. And they're just like, that is amazing. So if you look at our sales by city, we have people come from Lansing area, Grand Rapids, Grosse Pointe, They travel just to shop at our store.
Are there a lot of other stores? I'm just trying to understand the industry here in Metro Detroit. Probably have a couple minutes remaining. I'm just trying to understand the landscape in Metro Detroit. Are there other major competitors that you have to deal with, or is it primarily becoming less competitive through acquisition?
On the tennis side of the business, there is not a lot of competition. You have some big box stores and then some smaller, you know, very small footprint, especially tennis shops.
Yeah, and so you referenced earlier, the shop did not have an e-commerce presence prior to you purchasing it back in April. So what are your other plans to add an e-commerce component, you know, whether it's through offering everything online, through maybe, you know, leveraging relationships or partnerships? What are some of your plans and some of your thoughts without getting into the confidential component of your business, which I totally understand and respect?
The first is to just focus on tennis and, again, leverage that expertise. And there are some very good online websites that are tennis-specific. And it's going to take us some time to put together a website that is equal to and able to be competitive with those. So, you know, we hope to launch full-blown website by early 2020.
Are you having fun?
Absolutely. Always.
Yeah. And how many employees do you have?
We have about 45 employees at the store.
So, you know, in our closing minute or so, as you think about quickly employees, you make a company acquisition. How did you solve the or ease the anxiety of people when a new owner comes and takes over?
We talked a lot about change and spent a lot of time meeting with employees one-on-one, understanding their history with the store, their goals, where they want to get to in life, either, you know, professionally or personally. And then try to create a path for them. With the expansion of the online side of our business, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for new roles in the company that they, you know, haven't had access to.
In closing, give us the location and the website.
It's the Tennis and Golf Company at Woodward, just south of 13 Mile. And the website is thetennisandgolfcompany.com.
Is there an address?
30211 Woodward Avenue.
Is that on the east side of Woodward?
It is on the west side of
the
Woodward.
I've seen
just beside the cemetery.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, Andy Shepherd, we want to thank you very much for coming in and just sharing a recent acquisition, the Tennis and Golf Company. We wish you a lot of success for your new venture.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. We appreciate you coming in. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley. This segment, in fact, was brought to you by Michigan.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus Lee. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the conversation as we do each and every single week. And as you know, at this part of the show, I like to give my shout out. So I just start with here in Detroit, AM 1270. You might be listening to us each and every single week, and you might be listening this morning and reading your free press or your mobile technology. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation. Or you might be listening to us across the country with one of our many .coms, including WWJNewsRadio.com, TheHubDetroit.com, SoundCloud.com, Radio.com, LeeGroupInnovation.com. You might be sitting in your local city. You may be over there. Hi, Chicago. Hello, Philadelphia. Hey there, Jacksonville, Florida, Los Angeles. How you doing? Just sit back and relax. Enjoy the conversation with our very special next guest. And this segment, in fact, is brought to you by Michigan.com. I'm so pleased to welcome Tan Tran. And he's a serial entrepreneur who founded Accelerate Kid to teach kids K through 12 or K through 8 about entrepreneurship and STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math education. And Accelerate Kid has taught over 10,000 young people in southeastern Michigan, has partnered with over 100 academic organizations, and has also had more than 50 STEM accredited curriculum. Tom, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And in full disclosure, you and I also sit on the board of directors together for another major organization called the National Entrepreneurs Association.
That is correct. I love that organization. And not only us, but Dr. Zelanya is doing great things.
Good. Outstanding. Yes, she is. Talk to us briefly about yourself, and then we'll kind of unpack some of the things that you're doing with the book that you're going to be hopefully accelerating and putting in people's hands for this academic year. Who are you?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me here.
Absolutely.
And I'm, like you said, I have two software companies. This is my third startup, Accelerate Kid. And the reason why I started this was because I have two kids of my own. They love playing on the tablet when they were younger, and I wanted them to take it to the next level. So I started writing curriculums, and it turned out to be a business. So we created Accelerate Kid back in 2013. Now we serve, like you said, over 10,000 kids in the Southeast area of Michigan. And our main mission is to make sure that these young kids have access and resources to make sure that they can become the next future innovators. I've been able to be awarded the Salute for Excellence Awards by the Asian Pacific American Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. twice. Mm-hmm. I've been awarded also the Diversity Award by Corp Magazine. And these are things that kind of validate you. And what we're doing is, you know, is not only needed, but also necessary. In addition, I also run a foundation called Accelerate for Kids. And that's actually the fiduciary arm of Accelerate Kid, due to the fact that not everyone can afford our program, and we want to make sure that we can get this grant as well as scholarships for those kids who can have it but can't afford it.
And I noticed, it looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a major emphasis in science, technology, engineering, and math, also known as STEM.
Yes. The STEM is very big, and one of the things when we wrote these curriculum is that not only that we provide the content, which is could be computer programming, robotics, game design, 3D printing, but we also have to have the social aspect. What characters do we need to make sure that we have leaders in the future? And that means we need to make sure that they learn how to think creatively, think critically, collaborate with other people when they're doing projects, and also communicate. You can do a lot of things we do online, but these kids, the social aspects is what we want to provide to them.
I could not agree with you more. I think you're absolutely spot on. The social component is still important. We've all become engulfed with technology, mm-hmm. and sometimes we lose that personalization and that social component. I have two younger kids, but my kids, they're now adults. They're no longer kids. But one of the things I'm very proud of them is that they understand how to network and how to get involved from a social standpoint, which is certainly very important, whether or not you start your own business, as you have done, or if you're working in a corporate space or for someone else as well.
You hit it on the nail. It's, regardless if you're a bus driver, you can't get people interested in your ideas if you can't get people interested in who you are.
Yeah.
So I think sales is in every line of profession. And I think it's important.
And you've written a book. You have a book that you're going to be launching, Creating Future Creators. Let's restate that, Creating Future Creators. What is it?
Okay, so pretty much just the short history of that. We've been doing this for the last 5 years, and we've been teaching a lot of, we've been working with a lot of schools and educators. And we said, you know, why can't these teachers do it? Because we can't be everywhere at one at all these places. So we decided to come up with this book. It's like you said, it's Creating Future Creators, but it's a series, but this one, our first book, is going to base on Java. Mm-hmm. Java programming language is one of the more popular ones. And the reason why we picked Java too is because this book is a precursor study for advanced placement computer science classes for the principal and for the CSA, which is Java. So when they're done with this book in eighth grade, they can actually take the examinations in ninth, and we've had students that has done that and got scores of 5, which is pretty impressive, especially given that they're still in middle school and going into freshman. The book is going to be released on Monday, August 5th, first on Amazon. We're very excited for that. We got a really good testimonial from some people who've already read it already. And then we also are going to do a hardcover in September, a month from there.
So the book is being released tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's a scary thought. We already talked about August, but you're releasing it about this time because you want to get out in advance before school actually starts next month.
That is correct. And as a matter of fact, August is the month that a lot of teachers are doing professional development. And this is an opportunity for them to see, what they can actually do in their school. And the neat thing about this book is that it's a novel slash handbook. So let me kind of phrase that. It follows a fictitious math teacher coming from San Francisco, coming to Detroit Public School because of her family. And the school got a grant from the Michigan Department of Education, which is very common. Mm-hmm. And now she was given to run this coding club. And she recruited a few kids who love technology. And long story short, they applied to be in a hackathon. And they're pretty much an underdog story.
That's very cool. And how is this going to change the way education is currently taught in school?
Right now, there is very few curriculums out there for middle school kids. And now if you look at young kids, kindergarten to eighth grade, there's a lot of coding programs and curriculums that you can actually use on the iPad and on websites. But when you come to middle school kids, and let me kind of jump to high school kids, there's definitely a lot of courses, certifications that they can take. But middle school kids are kind of left out. There are programs out there that they can learn, but being Asian and also I call myself a dragon dare. I think I see the 10,000 kids we've been through, a good half of them are able to take these AP courses in freshman because they're able to learn Java at a young age.
You know what I love too, Tom, what you're doing too, we're talking to Tom Tran, and he's a serial entrepreneur who founded Accelerated Kid, is you also getting involved with the Detroit Public School System.
Yes.
And my point is you have you're reaching out to all segments of the population, a very diverse group of kids.
Very true.
And you're exposing those kids to this area that's very important, this thing called STEM and computer science, things that some people may not necessarily get the exposure to, but you are reaching out and helping all types of students.
I'm glad you point that out, because not only that we have that Accelerated Kid that does a lot of the for-profit work, but we have a nonprofit arm called Accelerate for Kids, and we just got a contract from the city of Detroit to run coding programs after school at the Northwest Activity Center for 300 kids. And these are things that, they wouldn't have access to if it wasn't for the city. And so we are a big component of making sure that everyone have access to this, because it's out there. It's just a matter of making sure that these kids have a good curriculum in front of them that not only learn the content, but also the social aspect that we talked about.
That's over on Outer Drive and Myers. And
yes.
That's that's my old neighborhood. I used to grow up and play basketball way back in the day at Northwest Activity Center. But, the other reason why that's important, too, is our city, our region, our state is reimagining itself.
Yes.
And we have over 100,000 available jobs today, right, according to the state, in those technology-related areas. And our students, our young people, this is a great opportunity for them to learn. When you and I came along, I know when I came along, it was more the traditional path, traditional manufacturing, traditional X, Y, and Z. Now we know how the automotive industry is focusing on mobile technology and focusing on these other autonomous vehicles. Yep. We live it. We hear it every day. And what you're doing is preparing the skill set for these young people to prepare for the future jobs down the road.
You're absolutely right, Mark. One of the biggest things that we have is to make sure that these kids are ready for opportunities in the future. And one of the things that Accelerate Kid has done is to make sure that these opportunities, regardless if you're a bus driver or even doctor or lawyer, everyone's going to have access to computer programming. And the important thing is that you think about the lights that run this place or the machines that is recording our conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's run on logic. So knowing how it's work, it's going to be just like learning Microsoft Word and Excel, but this is to another level. So it's very important that kids have access to computer science, which we're promoting in the book. And as well, if you have time, come out to our event in Farmington Hills this weekend. It's actually at the Farmington Hills High School, and it's the Michigan PTA 101st annual convention. So it's a lot of workshop that we have, not only for parents, but also for kids.
What gives you the qualifications to write this book?
Our book is STEM.org accredited. What that means to you is that they went through and looked at our not only our curriculums, but this book as well. And they reviewed it according to what STEM is qualified as. And so they put the label on there, and gave us the opportunity to say this is STEM, not only accredited, but also from the research they've done, that it shows that it does work with kids.
I think we have a couple minutes remaining or so, a little bit less. And yet, since you've launched, you've been able to reach 10,000 students. How have you done that? What's the secret sauce there?
So the secret sauce is pretty much working with the community. I mean, I'm not only a business owner, but I work with the community. I am an advisory board of a lot of school districts, like the Schoolcraft Community College, the Oakland Technical Schools, I mean, and working with Wayne County with their Detroit Public School. Just being out there in the community not only excites me, but that's what my passion is. And not only that, we're able to work with a lot of academic organizations, but we have facilities of our own. So kids come to our location and are able to sign up for classes. And then if they're not able to come to our location, we also go out to a lot of private school, public school, charter school, and homeschool groups. And that's how we reach most of our kids, and through word of mouth.
Yeah, well, about a minute remaining. And I got to tell you, for those of you listening, I've known Tan now for a couple of years, maybe about a year. And the passion in his voice, he loves this, what he's doing. Because I see him in our board meetings. And he gets actively engaged in the conversations, whether it's about entrepreneurship, whether it's about young people. This is the type of individual who's making a difference within the entire community, not a particular segment, the entire community. And I just want to give you express my thanks to you publicly for all that you're doing. And in closing, again, what is the website and any other information you want to share briefly?
First of all, I want to say thank you very much for having me here. And I think that you can see the passions, because I really care about the future, especially this is a global world that we live in now, and we want to make sure that every kid is ready, because the opportunities are there. In regards to our website, you can check us out on www.acceleratekid.com, and we do have a page for the book that's coming out tomorrow, and that's also acceleratekid.com/teach. We also have our nonprofit as well, so check out accelerate4kids.com, the number 4. Or four, so it's accelerate4kids.com is our nonprofit if you want to look for free camps and classes.
Thank you. Tan Tran, we want to thank you very much for coming. Go on, make it a great day.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This segment, in fact, was brought to you by Michigan.com. There'll be more guests as we're talking about school, which is right around the corner. And we're going to talk about that a little bit further right behind this commercial break on Small Talk with Marques Lee. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Marques Lee on this first weekend in August. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? No, I can't believe it, but yes, it is here. As you know, we want you to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. And we have another very special guest from Samaritas, and they're hosting its fourth annual statewide backpack drive. They'll be collecting donations of school supplies and backpacks all across its locations throughout Michigan. And I point that out because we are in early August, and I know we want summer to live forever, but another month ahead of us, it will be that time of the year. You know what I'm talking about? That is back to school. And to talk about it would be Miss Cheryl Coles, and she's the Director of Marketing over at Samaritas. Cheryl, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. And you're one of Samaritas is one of the state's largest faith-based nonprofits. Is that right?
We are. Absolutely.
Talk to us about Samaritas.
Well, Samaritas, which some of you might know it as Lutheran Social Services of Michigan, mm-hmm. which we were for many, many years. And then in 2016, we rebranded to Samaritas. And we have a lot of different programs all around the state, and we take care of about 15,000 people a year, and a lot of them are children.
Yeah.
And we want to take care of our kids, because this is back to school time, and we want to make sure that they all start school on a level playing field. So, hence the backpack drive.
And you have locations throughout the state of Michigan as well.
We do. In order for people to drop off stuff at the backpack drive, you can go to our website. We have all the locations listed. But I work out of the Detroit location, right on Jefferson in Indian Village. And mm-hmm. So people are welcome to drop them off there as well.
Very nice area. I've been there all the time.
It is. Very nice area. To work.
And we're talking about, the backpack drive. Exactly what is it?
Well, we've been doing a backpack drive for many years, kind of on an ad hoc basis. We have a lot of churches and community groups that want to sponsor our foster kids and help them get off to school on a good note. And a few years ago, we said, look, you know, we've got a lot of other kids who we take care of, too. We have a family homeless shelter in Wayne. We have kids who live in our affordable housing HUD communities. We have kids that are in family preservation programs, and what that means is they're in early intensive programming design so they don't go into foster care. And then we have a lot of kids who are in independent living, and they might be going off to community college. And we wanted to take care of them all and give them all that nice fresh backpack with those fresh school supplies. Because, you know, when you show up for school on the first day and you don't have the things your classmates do, you feel kind of awkward and embarrassed.
So let's clarify. You're not just getting a backpack.
Right.
You're getting a backpack that's full of stuff.
Full of stuff.
What might be in there, for example?
Well, and we know every school has different lists, because I remember as a parent, my kids would come home with a list of, you know, everything they needed. But the basics, you know, pencils, pens, erasers. If you want to take care of younger kids, they always need crayons. You know, box of Kleenex, because the teacher's always looking for a box of Kleenex, so that's kind of nice to put in there too. But everybody always needs the basics. You can always add later, but every kid likes to start out with those nice new pencils.
Okay, so I'm listening today, so I'm thinking, okay, well, Cheryl, so basically, I'm going to get a backpack that's full of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, oh, so you, somebody is filling that backpack with stuff. In other words, they've gone out and purchased it. No.
Yes.
People are literally sending things in to fill the backpacks?
Well, we do it a couple different ways.
How do you do it?
We do it a couple different ways. It's actually an opportunity for small businesses to get involved with us, because we have businesses that are doing their own backpack drives, and then we have volunteer groups that want to do a backpack stuffing party. So, mm-hmm. for example, we have companies calling us. We provide them with the backpacks and the materials, which a lot of times people just drop them off separately, and then we have backpack stuffing parties. And one of the other things we like to do is we take care of a lot of seniors. We have a lot of senior living communities around the state, and we have them host backpack parties, and we bring the kids in, and they stuff the backpacks with the seniors, and they both get a lot of enjoyment out of that. The seniors like telling the kids what it was like when they were went to school. Of course, you know, you walk to school barefoot, uphill both ways.
15 miles, yeah. 18 inches of snow.
Exactly. And then the kids like to, you know, they like that feeling of having a kind of a foster grandma or grandpa.
So let me ask you, did you walk through the snow 15
well,
miles?
Well, of course. I walked home for lunch every day, too.
With no coat in the middle
no
of January.
With no coat in the middle of January,
I used to tell my kids that when they used to laugh, their dad, here he goes, you know.
Everybody has their stories.
We all have
our
stories.
We're talking about
Cheryl
yes.
Coles, and she's with Samaritas, and we're talking about a big event that they're doing right now. The backpack drive, and they're certainly collecting backpacks. We'll be giving them out in advance of this upcoming school, the academic year, which begins for the most of Michigan right after Labor Day.
Yep.
And I know this, but can you believe there's been a movement of trying to move it back before Labor Day?
I think I've heard a little bit about that. And so our backpack drive, we're trying to end it on August 15th. So just so we have enough time to get everything together, get all the backpacks stuffed, and then get them distributed to all the kids who need them. Because we realize some of the kids go to school a little earlier than that.
Yeah. Yeah. When
it's creeping back.
Well, when did you start? What day did it start?
We actually started it about the first week in July. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, that kind of, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about school starting before Labor Day.
I do too. I mean, I always, for me, when I was a kid, Labor Day was always that big last hurrah.
And you know what was on Labor Day? I'm digressing, but that's okay. I'm having fun with this conversation.
Yep.
But there was a major show on every Labor Day weekend. Do you know? What is it, Doug? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what it was.
What was it?
Jerry Lewis.
That's
exactly
right. Oh, the Jerry
right.
Lewis Talk.
We
that's
all
right.
Sit there.
Yes.
Right? It was like, what, 19 hours?
Oh, yes. It was
a marathon.
It was a marathon. But everybody just said, you had mixed feelings about it. It was a good cause.
Yep.
But then you knew that you had to go.
You knew the summer was, that was the end of it.
And the other thing I remember about that, because Jerry Martin.
Jerry Lewis, Martin.
Was it Joe Lewis? I mean, wait a minute, who was the...
Jerry Lewis was the host.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jerry Lewis was the host.
Right.
And so also the night before school, they will always show his movies.
Yeah.
The reruns, so you'll be watching the...
Or the Nutty Professor,
whatever.
Favorites.
And then...
Hey, lady!
and that's... He does the Jetsons very well, too. Wait, do the Jetsons.
Who?
The Jetsons.
But my lips weren't wasn't.
And remember the night before school, you could never sleep.
Oh, yes. Yep. Very exciting. Oh, very exciting.
And but you know what? We're laughing, but that's the kind of enthusiasm that we want to have kids to go to school with in the fall. And hopefully these backpacks will help contribute to that enthusiasm. One less thing to worry about.
And they do. I mean, I've been on site when we've distributed the backpacks to the kids, like in our family homeless shelter, and they're just so excited. I mean, first they get to pick what they want, you know, so they get to pick the color. You know, we have all different kinds of backpacks that come in. And so there's a color and a design for everybody. And they're just so excited to get that new, fresh backpack.
There is something about the beginning of the academic year.
There is.
You know.
There is.
You know, let's talk about what are the types of items that people can donate? What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for any backpacks. Obviously, we help kids of all ages, little kids that are going off to maybe their first day of school in kindergarten, and then we're handling kids all the way up through college. You know, they're getting ready and going off to college. Maybe they've aged out of the foster care system, but we're still helping them out. And those kids need backpacks too. So you can kind of keep that in mind if you want to donate. You can get the cute little kid ones, or you can get the older ones for the teens and the maybe the middle high school kids that aren't into the cartoon characters anymore.
But you raise a good question. I heard you say the quote, age out.
Mm-hmm.
What is technically the age in for the program so that kids get involved? How do they have to be?
Well, I mean, we handle kids from, you know, foster kids from, you know, sometimes when they're first born all the way up to when they, you know, unfortunately they age out of foster care. And that's when a lot of kids need extra help. Because when you think about it, you know, when I was a kid and I graduated from high school, I wasn't ready to go off on my own. I had my parents. I had a support system of friends and relatives and neighbors in the school. And a lot of times our foster kids don't have that.
Yeah.
And so we try to include them in all these programs too, because we want them to feel
wanted.
But
is there a specific age where they do have to age out? Is it like 12, 13? Is it 18?
Oh, in terms of aging out of foster care, it's when you turn 18.
18. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and as we talk about other challenges in Detroit, what are the other issues that Sabiritas is addressing?
Well, we have a lot of homeless families. We have a homeless homeless family center in Wayne. And one of the unique things about this homeless center is that families can stay together. Because when you think about it, when you're a family and you have to go into a homeless shelter, a lot of times they separate the men and the women. So if you're a family, it's already traumatic enough for you to go into a homeless shelter. But to be separated then, and you can't remain together as a family when you're homeless and working through some of those struggles, that's hard too. So we try to keep families together in our homeless shelter. So we're unique in that way. And that's a huge thing. And also affordable living. Mm-hmm. We do a lot with affordable living or HUD housing. There's a huge shortage of affordable housing, not only in this state, but countrywide. Across the nation.
And we know in Detroit with the revitalization that's taking place downtown and you know this past week, as we all know, this is not a political show, so I don't go down politics, but there was the Democratic national debate this past week, this past Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Wednesday in Detroit. And, you know, I was watching the pre-shows, as they call it. Everything's turning like a sporting event these days.
Oh, yes.
But they were having
a performance.
It's a performance. Mm-hmm. They had a beautiful, shots of downtown Detroit, and everybody's talking about the housing that's going up. And I point that out to simply say that with the new housing that's going up, affordable living, particularly for seniors and others, that's going to become more of a challenge. And I would anticipate that need continues to increase.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I mean, at Sabiritas, we're looking at developing new affordable living communities all across the state because there is such a shortage, not only for seniors, because that is an issue, but also for families and people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. They need places to live that they can afford.
So let's talk about the number of kids that will be helped with this backpack drive. How many again?
Well, we're hoping to collect well over 2,000, because that's how many kids that we have in our care that need these backpacks.
And how many drop-off points are there, and where specifically are the drop-off points?
Well, you can look for all the drop-off points right on the front page of our website, which is www.samaritas.org, and it's right on the front. And so you can click through, and we have all the locations. The one I'm at is our local Detroit headquarters, which is right on Jefferson, 8131 East Jefferson, right in Indian Village.
So we have a couple of minutes remaining, and is there anything else that you really want to hone in on as it relates to Sabiritas? Toss us, what any other things that you want to highlight before we break?
Well, in terms of talking about the kids that we take care of, we are actually going to be taking care of some kids in a transitional foster care program. These are kids from the border. Mm-hmm. That need foster homes. And so we are, even though it's not totally local, but your program goes all over, mm-hmm. so I kind of appreciate that audience. We're looking for foster families in Lansing, in Ann Arbor, and some employees in Lansing, Ann Arbor, and Grand Rapids to help us with that program.
Yeah, so the challenges are not just in Detroit. They're no. across the entire state of Michigan and beyond.
They are.
And this is why this conversation is important. A lot of times we know that Detroit's the hub of this state, and certainly over 50% of the population resides in Metro Detroit. But let's not forget, we have another 50% of the population beyond Metro Detroit, and those needs are just as great outstate as they are here in the Motor City area as well.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. They need affordable living other places too, not just here in Detroit. Now,
and what is the, give us the address one more time for the drop-off point and the website where people get more information.
The website, which contains all the drop-off points, and there's about a dozen of them. So there's some in Troy, there's some in Ann Arbor, there's some in Flint. But 8131 East Jefferson, and that's right in Detroit.
Cheryl Coles from Ameritas. I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing that important information.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Doak, you go out and make it a great day, man.
I will. It's going to be a beautiful day, so take advantage. Day.
I thought about playing golf, but no.
No?
Okay. My golf game is
My gone. Wife played Eagle Crest out earlier this week.
It's a great course.
Yeah, she loved it. She had a great time.
Yeah, up at Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah.
All right, we want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week, and we will check you out on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. We'll talk to you soon.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.